Hello. Welcome back to Airplane Mode, Flight Attendant Confessions for episode 5. I'm your host, Chantel Francis, with my co-pilot, Victoria. How's it going today, Victoria?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm tired, a little groggy. As usual, we had a long-ass flight yesterday, and we went long. It was a long day. So I'm tired.
Yeah, same. You're tired? I'm very tired. Yeah. I always have a headache after those long flights.
I mean, I love them for the fact that like you only are required where we work, we're only required to do 80 hours minimum a month. And so that I can stretch into like 7 flights or 8 flights. And so it just means I don't have to go to the airport that many times, 'cause I don't have a vehicle. So that's why I love doing the long flights personally. Why do you like doing them?
Same. I love having just the 8 flights in the month and I have my week free.
Basically. Yeah. Like,
Once I'm there, like that long commute to get there, like once we get to the parking, like all that, like might as well just be there once I'm there. Like, let's get it done.
Yeah. I want to be there as long as possible, get as many hours in, because it takes so long to like start up the actual day. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, come on. It's like a 3-hour process to get to the plane and like actually take off. So especially with like de-icing and stuff like that, because we live in a cold climate. So we have to worry about, you know, some extra time being tacked on to before we actually even take off, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, as we all know, we are here to talk about the world of aviation and flight life and our confessions. And so we wanted to bring in, as usual, a celebrity of some sort. Oh my God, I didn't even put her picture up in here. But you stumbled onto somebody that we may not know specifically, but we know of her. So who was our celebrity flight attendant highlight this week?
So it was Kate Middleton's mom, Carol Middleton, who joined British Airways when she was 21 years old. And when I was reading about her, it said they compared her to a Kris Jenner, a woman who, like, she began as a flight attendant. She ends up meeting the man that she would marry and becoming a multimillionaire. So she also actually met her husband, who was Michael Middleton. She met him. He was a flight dispatcher at British Airways. So that's how they actually met.
Oh, wow. I'll show you a picture of Carol Middleton here. Oops, hold on.
And I did so much research trying to get an image of her in a uniform. I couldn't find anything.
I mean, I don't think the pictures that we had of Kris Jenner was her in a uniform. I think she was just doing a photo shoot. So I couldn't even find her. I couldn't find Evangeline Lilly. It's actually very difficult, but it's probably because photos weren't as readily accessible then as they are now. Like, we have a photo of everything for every second of the day. If you're doing anything, someone's catching it on camera. But back then, like, you'd actually have to have like a physical camera with film.
Yeah.
So I'm just assuming it's just like lost in the different vaults, you know, like.
Yeah. Were they even using Polaroids back then?
What years would that be? Like the 70s?
Yeah, I had a Polaroid in the 80s.
I was a person that had a wind-up camera that I used to bring around with me in the 90s. But 80s, yeah, Polaroids were probably around in the 80s for sure. So that's pretty cool, though, that we have somebody that's adjacent to the royal family that was in aviation, just like we were. So how long did she work? Was it a year?
Yeah, not long. She wasn't there long at all. And it says that she was married. It said in the article that I read that she was married at the time that she met Michael Middleton. And then she just met him, and then they ended up getting married in 1980.
1980. Wow. And so they're still married now. Do you know?
Actually, I didn't check that.
probably. I mean, maybe. Yeah. So who was she married to before?
It says, let me read it to you. You know what? It doesn't say in this article. It just said Carol Goldsmith. Yeah. So she
something Goldsmith then, I guess.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting though that like, and then, you know, she opens up her party planning business, which is very successful. So she, it wasn't just that she married into wealth. She did her own thing too, you know?
Definitely pretty cool that she's had humble beginnings like we, and now she's wearing these gorgeous hats in photos and probably going to, I don't know, cotillions? Is that what they do? I don't know. But doing royal events and royal things and being all wealthy and British.
That could be us.
I mean, my dad is born in England, so, you know. I do have British roots.
There you go.
Okay. Well, that was pretty cool. Thank you for bringing that. And I felt that though today we might want to talk a lot about the labs, because it seems there's a lot of things about the labs. This is the washroom that are on the aircraft that we fly on. There's two labs in the back and two labs, or one lab in the front. And what's frustrating about the front lab is that our seat where we have our breaks, or, you know, if we want to just hang out or for eating, is between the passengers. So like the cabin, and then the lab is actually behind us. So passengers actually have to come behind the curtain and go into the lab. Now, what's your least and favorite part about how we're situated at the front of the cabin?
Definitely. People are always in our space. And I find like when you're working in the front, everyone, even though it's like a lot of people, like in the beginning of the flight, they say, make sure you stand behind the curtain in the front when you're waiting for the lab.
Security issues, because the flight deck is also behind that curtain.
Yes. But a lot of people, even though they hear that, and even though you tell them that again, when they're standing in your galley, a lot of people take that so personal.
100%. And like, I mean, it's hard sometimes to close the curtain when someone's standing there, but like, just like, we don't want you standing on the other side of the curtain. Whenever one of the pilots want to come out, we have to close the curtain anyways to make sure that like nobody's getting any access to the flight deck. And so we have to kind of close the curtain. So it's a little bit awkward. You know, having to do that. And all the flights that we do, they tend to be longer flights. So they're not short hops, like an hour here, an hour there. So they tend to be lengthier. And I don't know what it is, if it's the length of the flight or if it's because they've purchased a full package, but it seems as though they're finding gold or something in the labs, because people will be lined up from the beginning, the seatbelt sign turns off and they're able to stand all the way through the flight. There's always someone standing up waiting to go to the lab. I go to the lab usually once and I'll finish an entire liter and a half bottle of water, and I probably have to go once in flight. How do you speculate is the reason why people on our flights will just consistently stand up in the aisle waiting to go to the lab?
I don't know. I honestly, yeah, I don't know. Maybe, well, sometimes I drink a lot of water. So I'm all like, I barely can get into the lab when I need to like use it.
It's definitely very frustrating, because we need the aisles to do service. We need the aisles to do a lot of different things. And so when we have people standing in the aisle all the time, it's just really, really frustrating to get through people and having to pass through them and say, excuse me. And like, they get irritated by you for like having to get around them. And it's like, well, go back to your seat, please, and sit down and wait. Cause like whenever I'm on a plane and if I have to use the lab, firstly, I make sure I know where the labs are right before I get on the plane. I'm like, okay, what kind of plane is this? What kind of lab is it? Because I never want to be the person that can't find the lab, because that is something that I do find we chuckle about. Because people will go up to the front galley and they'll be like, oh, where is it? We're like, it's right behind us. They're like, where? And they're like trying to open the flight deck. We're like, no, it's right behind us. And like, we physically have to open the door for them to be able to find out where the lab is.
Yeah.
Have you had any experiences of that?
Oh yeah. Like, they're always trying to get into the flight deck like pulling on the door. There, yeah. Sometimes when we're doing service too, I see, you know, we'll be working and then I'll see into the galley and I'll say, you know, that person's looking for, you'll just see them walking back and forth. I'm like looking, where is the lab?
So funny. So like it happens all the time and people just don't seem to know where it is. And so when I'm on a plane though, on board, and I'm sitting as a passenger, I always will look because there is a light, generally speaking, if it's calibrated properly, that when the door is locked, you'll see an X that shows that it's occupied, and then there'll be no X when it's free and available. So I will wait until it's free and available, and I will get up and I'll walk to the lab. I would never, ever considering standing in line waiting unless I get up to go and someone sneaks in front of me, and I'll be like, oh, okay, well, I'll wait here for a second. I won't go back to my seat. But generally speaking, I will wait until it's free. Why do you think that the passengers don't do that?
It's because, you know, actually I was talking with our first officer yesterday and he's like, it's the common sense. Like, I was like, do you think it's a lack of oxygen on the aircraft? That, like, where does a lot of common sense? I don't know.
Disappears.
That is the mystery.
That's interesting.
Like, where is, like, a lot of common sense go, like, gets just, once they enter on board, it's like, where did it go?
Where did it go? Actually, funny, like, it's not that funny, but yesterday, even, so there was a lineup in the front, and the front only has one, as I told you, and the back has two. And so, at this point yesterday, there was a long lineup in the front, but there was no one in the back. And I was coming through with a cart. And so I told the people, I'm like, there's two in the back and they're both available. And they're like, ugh. And I'm like, but you could just go to the back and not have to like reconfigure and get to your seat and go and wait for longer for this lab. And she's like, well, the person just went in. And I'm like, well, who knows how long they're going to take? Like, this one's free. You could go right into the lab right now and use it instead of waiting for this person. The person seemed to be taking quite a long time. And so she kind of just like stormed off and was like upset about the fact that I told her to go to the aft to the two lavatories that were both available. And I think she was done before the person came out of the lab.
Yeah, even yesterday when I was gonna pick up more pops from the back, or just come to see you in the back, I just looked down and I saw like just a whole bunch of people. I'm like, never mind. Like, not even going to bother pushing through everyone. Like,
yeah, never, don't want to bother. Okay. So I don't know if you've seen this before. I'm going to have to stop and start it because I don't want any sort of copyright flags, but we'll talk through this scenario that I think is hilarious. tell me if you've seen it. Oops, shit.
You talk too much. That's why I like you. You
don't talk. This, I meant to do this. Does this look familiar to you?
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay, so we're going to stop and start it. So sorry for it to being annoying, but it's...
Oh my goodness. I never saw the end of that. That's hilarious.
I just had to share that because it's literally what we're all thinking when people are just like, we're in our jump seat and it's like really bumpy and people are just like trying to get to the lab or just like, just sit down. Sit down. Do you have any other lab stories that you want to maybe share?
Well, so yeah, a lot of lab stories have been coming up from other crew members. You might want to share some of those pictures.
Well, let me start the story and then I'll pull them up.
Which one do you want to pull up first? The one that's on the train that we take?
Okay, do the train first. And then, so that's en route and
on route. It up. Whether you're coming from like Chantel, like you take the subway, right? And then you take that train too?
I do. Yeah, I do take it one stop.
Or once I park the car, I walk over to this train and then another crew member took a photo of what she found on the seat of this train.
I warn you right now, like, this could be triggering, this could be repulsing, if that's a word. Like, it's actually diggalas, disgusting. Okay, you ready for it?
Don't keep it up too long, it's gross.
Okay, like, literally, this is what they found on the seat. And, like, I usually sit on the ends, not gonna lie, but, like, I might have sit in the middle at one point.
Whether you sit on the end or the middle, like, that's just disgusting. What's to say it can't happen at the end of the seat?
I know, but I just, like, it makes me feel comfort knowing that I don't usually sit in the middle, so at least, like, you know. So did you hear the story of when that actually happened?
No, I know that someone, one of our crew members shared this to warn us not to sit on the seat anymore.
Yeah, I believe what the story was is that they were coming on and two people were coming off. Like, it looked like a woman that was traumatized and the person that actually committed this act were leaving at the same time. And the woman just looked traumatized. Like, she was basically probably on this, in this little train vestibule type thing where she was witnessing this person doing this in front of her, and she was just like, I need to get off this train. And so, yeah, somebody was witnessing somebody do this and, like, left the train, and then our crew member went on. Did she stay on the train? And
I
have, like,
no idea what, yeah, I don't know. I just know that this photo was shared for all of us to know not to sit on these seats.
Yeah, so don't sit on these seats. Okay. Thank you for that. Okay, and what's your other story?
So the other story was what another crew member found on one of his flights. Shout out to Timothy.
Hi, Tim. So I don't know if you can see.
So yeah, there was,
right, bottom right over here, like around the toilet.
Poop ball.
The lav.
On the side.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to zoom in here. So yeah, does he have a story about this, or is this just another day at the office?
Yeah, just another day at the office. And then he had on another flight. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was his flight or our other crew member's flight, but there was the other one with the, on the seat. They found poop on the seat.
I don't know if I have that photo. Anyways, what was the story from Marissa?
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, she had, yeah, another crew member of ours. She was just sharing all these. I was just asking her, you know, let me pull it up, because I took a bunch of notes because she told me so much stuff. Do you want to share the underwear before I get into that? The, on the flight, so the passengers that we had took back, another crew had brought them down, and the underwear, they found the underwear on the floor of the lab.
I didn't put this one up. Okay. Start talking and I'll find it.
Yeah. So yeah, I was asking Marissa, a flight attendant who's been flying for so many years, what her biggest pet peeve was being a flight attendant. And she said it was definitely people, the way that when you're doing service and they're either waiting for the lav and or whatever they're doing in the aisle, and they stand right up next to you. You can't even bend down to get yourself a Coke.
Well, and also, like, when you bend down and, like, there's, like, it's a man standing behind you and it's like your butt goes into their crotch area and you're just like, I don't want that scenario.
Yeah. I actually said to one of our flight attendants years ago, because we were, like, talking about that, like, how this man was standing up, like, next to her. I was like, you know, next thing you bend down to get a Coke, and next thing you know, you're pregnant. Marissa was saying that, and she said, and then when you're doing service, another pet peeve, you know, when passengers, at, like, sitting on the aisle seats know each other, and clearly they're touching your butt because they're, like, handing things to each other. Like, they just keep touching your butt. Like, so annoying. And, oh, yeah. So what was interesting, too, she said it's four. We deal with 400 on our aircraft, 200 each way. Never mind people at customs and ground agents, all of that. But we deal with 400 people a day. It's always a different group of people, same destination, same procedure, but it's always a different experience. So it's with our job, right? It's like we always get something different. And another thing she said, her favorite thing was working in the sky is what she loved the most, or she loves the most. And then she said this, which I love. She said, you think that when people are going on vacation, they would be happy. And then she said, but she's very spiritual too, Marissa, right? So she understands on a deeper level. She's like, but if someone is miserable in life, they will also be miserable in flight. It's and true. I just love that. It's like, so a lot of times, you know, you think that people are going on vacation, why aren't you happy? And it's like, no, they're just miserable. Yeah. And then, another thing she said, which I loved, she said another thing that she doesn't like, she said a lot of people tend to think that flight attendants are just stupid or like flighty airheads. Like, absolutely. And she was like, that's absolutely not the case. Like, she said, we're not just beautiful, we're smart. And she said, it's definitely a job that creates thick skin, dealing with so many different people and learning not to take things personal. And now she's worked a lot in Europe, right? She goes overseas. And she said, so she compared, she brought up the evacuation that Japan Airlines recently had. And she said, that is the perfect reminder of what we're actually here for, to evacuate an aircraft in 90 seconds. And she said, it's a lot, when you're in a different country, like the cultures like Europe or Japan, like it's, she said, it's so different. They take things so seriously, because if they don't, she said, it's automatic jail time over there. Like, you can't mess with a crew member. Like, you have to listen. She said, and it's, they just, she thinks that that's why they take things so seriously. Mm-hmm. And like with the Japan Airlines flight, they were able to evacuate 367 passengers in 90 seconds. No one was taking their carry off, trying to like take their bags with them. And she just said she believes that that's why the passengers behave so well, because it's automatic jail time.
Oh, whoops, wrong one. So what's the story with the underpants?
Oh yeah, so the crew, I can't even remember where I was going, but they had brought the passengers down and I was on the flight home, and they shared this picture. They took this picture and said, one of these passengers has left this on the flight down. So we were joking. And we were saying that we should make an announcement when we were coming home and say, you know, on last week's flight, someone has lost, if someone lost a blue pair of underwear in the lavatory, Timothy will be walking through the cabin with a photo to identify.
And it would be this photo. Amazing.
Like, yeah, just leaving their underwear like on the ground. I don't get it at all.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they're changing from like, you know, their summer gear or their hot like weather gear to going back to cold Canada, or the opposite. You know what I mean? I guess. Yeah.
But still, why would you leave your dirty underwear like laying?
I mean, I always am looking behind me to make sure I don't leave anything in the lab. So I don't know. Maybe they just
forgot.
I don't know.
Another unsolved mystery.
Unsolved mysteries. Oh my God, that would be actually really fun. Like a fun show. Unsolved mysteries of the plane.
So on this flight that we were bringing the passengers back, the people that we had brought down, we had another man come to the front with his clothes. Me and Marissa were standing in the front, and this guy just wanted to change, right? He wanted to change in the galley in front of us. He's like, can I just change into my shorts here? And we're like, no.
Thank you. It's like, it's so small in there. It's like, yeah. We don't care. We're not interested.
And then I thought of that after, because, you know, there's a camera sometimes.
Yeah, like the pilots will be watching you.
Yeah. But he was so mad that we didn't want him naked in the galley. Like, come on.
I can't believe you. So rude. Okay, so I did get a story yesterday about the labs. So a crew member that we work with, who's only worked with our airline, but her husband also worked in as a flight attendant and other areas of the aviation industry. And she tells us a story about, so there was a girl that went, or a young woman that went into the lavatory, and then they had been sitting in the back row, if I'm not mistaken. And so she goes into the lavatory in the after the aircraft. And then this, her person that she was traveling with, her partner, boyfriend, husband, whatever, ends up following her into the lavatory. And so they're in there for a little while. And so our coworker started like knocking on the door. I mean, like, hello, like you have to come out, like trying to stop them from whatever they're doing in the lab. And so they weren't answering. So maybe they got quiet or whatever, they stopped talking or like whatever, making a sound. And so she opened the lab from the outside in because they weren't responding. And she was sitting on the lavatory toilet. He was standing in front of her with his pants down facing her. So we can assume we know what was going down there. And so when she told him that they had to stop what they were doing, he got really irate and angry and was like, I'm never flying this airline again, because he couldn't get sucked off mid-flight in our lavatories. Like, what? Never. We'll see you next year, sir. So that's the story that I heard yesterday, which I thought was hilarious. Do you have any other lab stories for today? It's kind of a quick day, but actually not too quick.
Some people know how to unlock those labs. Like, they see us do it.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lady do it on landing, where we were sitting in our jump seat, and she actually unlocked the lab and went in to use it. And we ended up having a missed approach because of it. And when she came out of the lab, she was just like, she just yelled to the whole aircraft, everyone on there. She was just like, I wouldn't want to inconvenience the pilot. Anyways.
Well, she did inconvenience the pilot because it was a missed approach at this point.
Yeah.
Well, wow. She didn't.
The good news is that, like, that's taken seriously, right? So, she didn't end up, she wasn't allowed to fly back. She was basically, we tried to blacklist her. So, she didn't come back on our aircraft.
Okay. So, like, I mean, if you don't follow directions, you know, a lot of it's safety. This is definitely a safety issue. We can't have somebody, when we're landing, you know, be in the lavatories. Like, that's why we lock them, so people can't go into the labs while we're landing. And if someone does go in there, we do have to call the flight deck and let them know that the cabin is no longer secured and therefore missed approach is going to happen. And so that's a lot of money. That's a lot of, you know, coordinating with air traffic control. Like, it could could be a snowball of events that could happen that could make this a more serious occurrence. Like, I know it seems like nothing, but a lot of things have to be coordinated to land a damn plane. And you deciding that you have to go to the bathroom, like, at this point, going in your seat is actually a better option.
Yeah.
I know it's embarrassing and uncomfortable and it sucks, but at that point, it's a better option.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, do you have any other, maybe a positive lab story before we go? Are there any? No.
I don't think so. I've heard of, you know, like, I don't know. I heard someone had told me that someone had once peed in a cup and left it on the galley. But I heard that from someone.
I mean, I did have, it was an awkward situation where a person who didn't have, I guess it was paraplegic, and so he wasn't able to use his body from the waist down, and so he did use a bottle to go to the washroom to pee in, and he did it in his seat, and he literally handed me a bottle full of warm urine.
Oh my gosh.
Like, what? Like, well, I won't even take a baby's diaper, which they shouldn't be changing a baby's diaper in the seat. Like, those tray tables are not a changing table at your seat. That's where people eat food. And so I would say if for anywhere that you want to be cleaning, if you clean your seat area when you go and sit on an aircraft, the seats are very dirty. So like I understand when people want to clean the area that they're sitting in, but those tray tables that we eat our food from, a lot of people consider it to be a convenient changing table for their baby, and they will hand their diapers to us in the aisle. And I say like, I'm in a food zone. I don't touch diapers. Please put that in the lavatory. And same with the guy with the pee bottle. I went back and I got a bag and I put it in a bag and I put it in the lab. But like, it's just shocking to me that someone would pass me a bottle of warm urine in public. Like, what?
It's like, oh, more apple juice for service.
Don't make me sick, sick, sick. Okay, well, on that note, we're ending on warm urine. Where can people follow us now, Victoria, to watch all of our funny memes that you've been putting together and Instagram and TikTok trends?
Airplane Mode FA, at Airplane Mode FA on Instagram and TikTok.
Oh, sorry, I didn't see. Oh, hi, Sarah, I'm coming. You're not going in your seat? Sarah, I mean, just hold it though. Is my point? Just hold it. Because the plane, you could get something bad could happen worse than peeing in your seat if you go to the lab at that particular time. Okay, love you, Sarah. I'll see you in 5 minutes. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to hear some more of our confessions. We'll be back around the same time next week with some more fun stories. Please subscribe to this channel as well as all of at Airplane Mode FA on TikTok and Instagram. Like this video and please let us know some of your stories about being a passenger, or if you work as a flight attendant or a captain or somewhere in the airline industry, let us know your stories because we love sharing them, because we love talking about them, because really we just love to gossip and it really is the best place to do a lot of gabbing. So please come and hang out with us next week and leave a comment. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Talk to you next week. Oh, I forgot to play my song last week. I'm playing it again. We'll be right back.